The following message was given by Brother Timothy Hum in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, March 20, 2016. The title of the message is Head Covering. Scripture verses are 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 through 16, chapter 1, verse 2 and 9, chapter 10, verse 16, 20 through 21, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 15, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 27, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 through 8, chapter 10, verse 3 through 4, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 and 17, chapter 3, verse 20.
Lord, we come under your headship. Amen. You are the head of every man. Amen. Lord, we love you. Amen. Thank you we can come to your word together. Amen. Pray under your precious blood, you anoint your word. Amen. Anoint our speaking, anoint our hearing. Amen. Keep us under your headship. Amen. How much do we need your cleansing blood? Yes. We were rebellious sinners. Yes. But you have saved us. Right. You have brought us into your house, into your kingdom. Amen. Under your headship. Yes. Lord, to bless this meeting. Amen. Bless your own word. Amen. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen, saints. This morning we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 through 16. This portion of the word is following chapter 10, which is very obvious. 1 Corinthians is divided into two sections. The first section is chapter 1 through chapter 10. And the second section is starting from chapter 11. So we are entering into the second section. The first section, Paul was burdened to help the Corinthian believers, and they have a lot of problems. Right. And from chapter 1 through chapter 10, they have six problems. So a lot of problems. From chapter 11 to the end, there are another five problems. The first section, Paul, in solving all the problems of the Corinthians, his focus wasn't on the problems. Right. His focus was on Christ. Amen. So in very beginning, in chapter 1, we see that, maybe we can read the two verses in chapter 1, going back, just to give a little background before we enter into the second section, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read that together. To the church of God, which is in Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, the called saints, with all those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in every place, who is theirs and ours. Verse 9, God is faithful, through whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son. So these two verses brings us to the very opening word of Paul to the Corinthians. From chapter 1 to chapter 4, he covered the matter of division. Mm-hmm. Then chapter 5, he covered the matter of dealing with the sinful brother. Right. This brother even committed incest, took his mother-in-law, stepmother. This is chapter 5. Then chapter 6, it was the matter of lawsuits and abusing of the freedom. Then in chapter 7 was concerning the marriage life. Then from chapter 8 through chapter 10, it was concerning eating the idol sacrifices. Right. But in all these chapters, Paul was very burdened to bring all the Corinthians back to this very Christ. Amen. So in the very beginning, he mentioned this very Christ, he is theirs and ours. 1 Corinthians wasn't just written to the Corinthians. Right. It was written to not just the saints in Corinth, but also to those Of course, the saints in Corinth, they are sanctified in Christ Jesus. They are the saints. But also, all those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place. So this epistle was not just, you know, the saints in Corinth, but to every place, the saints, calling on the name of the Lord. So this Christ is theirs and ours. It's our common portion. In chapter 9, even he mentioned that we were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So fellowship, you know, just to enjoy the Lord Jesus. So we see this throughout the whole book of 1 Corinthians. So Paul was very burdened to help them to enter this burden that we need to enjoy Christ, to have fellowship with Christ, of course, in the body with one another. So this was very, very, very clear throughout the book of 1 Corinthians. In order to save time, I will just jump a little bit to chapter 10. Right. In chapter 10, again, the matter of fellowship. Let's read some verses in chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing which we bless is not the fellowship of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? So again, the matter of the fellowship was mentioned. So it shows that fellowship is just to have the mutual participation. You know, around the table, you know, we have the fellowship with the blood, that's the cup, and we have the fellowship with the bread, which signifies the Lord's physical body, broken for us. When the blood is separated from a person, there is the death. So in this table meeting, we declare the Lord's death, right, that he died for us. But in this context, from chapter 8 to 10, in fact, he was dealing of eating the idol sacrifices. And in chapter 10, later on he mentioned, we cannot partake the food offered to the demons, then partake the bread. Right. We cannot have the demons' table, also have the Lord's table. Right. So in dealing with the matter of sacrifice to demons, to idols, he come up with this matter, wonderful Lord's table. Right. It's truly wonderful. So the Lord, you know, Paul's burden is just that, you know, to present this Christ to all the Corinthians. Amen. And to bring all of us into the enjoyment of such a rich Christ, you know. And throughout the first portion, he brought out all the riches of Christ. Right. It's unsearchable for all of us to enjoy and partake day by day. In saying that, we come to chapter 11. Chapter 10 was concerning the Lord's table. But chapter 11 is concerning the Lord's Supper. You know, this coming week, I mean this week, starting from today, we will cover concerning the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, is just concerning the bread and the cup. Yeah. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. But suddenly, in this portion we are reading, chapter 11, 2 to 16, inserted a portion concerning Christ is the head of every man. Right. Concerning man is the head of woman. And concerning God is the head of Christ. Right. Did you understand? I don't understand. I don't understand. So suddenly, you know, there's a portion that this morning we need to cover. Amen. Okay. You know, we have the rich ministry and we have the body. So this matter, this week, I have more realization and understanding. Amen. You know, the Lord's table is, or the Lord's Supper, is mainly concerning the body of Christ. But what Paul is covering, chapter 11, 2 through 16, is concerning the head. Right. So we have the body and we have the head. And this is very logical, right? But this past Wednesday, Brother James was with us in the Evergreen meeting. So he touched a point I thought was very precious. The point he touched is concerning that, the reason it mentioned the matter of headship and head covering, there's a key word in this section. That is, the covering of the sisters with the head covering is to have a sign of submission to authorities and for the sake of the angels. You know, this is something mentioned in this portion. This matter of angels is a key word because the angels are the God created beings. They are invisible. They are spirits. But in chapter 10 or chapter 8 through 10, it was concerning the eating idol sacrifices. To have the demonic food. Demons. The table of the demons. What are the demons? The demons are not human beings. Some people think the demons, you know, human beings die, became demons. No, that's not so. Demons are not human beings. And demons are neither angels. Angels, the angels follow Satan. They are the evil angels. So demons are the disembodied created beings before the Adamic age. What happened was demons followed Satan in his rebellions. Eventually they were judged. They became disembodied beings. That's why it's called demons. Okay, when touch this point, we need to read a few verses in order to... we had the verses, in fact, this past week. Maybe we can read the verses in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Maybe we can read 12 together. Then there are only three verses. Maybe we just read them together. How you have fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the dawn. How you have been hewn down to earth, you who made nations for prosperity. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will exalt my throne, and I will sit upon the mount of assembly in the uttermost parts of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you will be brought down to Sheol, to the uttermost parts of the pit. If you read the context, I don't have time to go into the detail. If you read the context of Isaiah, this portion of the word, Isaiah wasn't talking, Isaiah was talking about some person, physical person existing at that time. But certainly in his speaking, in his writing, something changed. Something changed, mentioned this part of the word. And this part of the word referring to day star.
Right.
And this refers to Satan. If you read the context, there's nobody else matches this portion of the word except Satan, God's enemy, the devil. Five times he said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. He wants to be equal with God. So he rebelled against God. He was the archangel. In fact, God committed to him all the authorities. But because of his beauty and because of his pride, you know, this is a warning to all of us. You know. Satan fall. Satan became Satan. And when Satan fall, became fallen, he dragged one third of the angels with him. This you see in Revelation chapter 12. I think it's verse 7. He dragged the third part of the stars with him. At that time, there were also living beings on the earth, so the demons also followed the rebellions. So this was the situation. Of course, in such a pre-Adamic age, in such a situation, God came to create man. Yeah. We have, I think, Genesis 1:26. Maybe we can read Genesis 1:26 together and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So man was created for God's purpose, to represent him, to express him, and to represent him, and especially to rule over the whole earth, and especially the creeping things, which is serpent, referring to God's enemy, Satan. But we all know man was tempted and man became fallen. So this is the situation. I mention this in such a way just to bring out the matter of the table of the demons. So if we see in this light, we will see something very significant. That is, concerning the Lord's table, usually we really appreciate what the Lord's love for us, right? He died for us. He came to shed his blood to cleanse us so we can be recovered. Even he made us sons that we can have we can become many sons. But there is a very particular point we usually don't touch that much. That is, this table signifies the Lord's death in the sense that he was obedient unto death, which is opposite to Satan's rebellion, to the rebellion of all the angels, to the rebellion of all the demons, even to the rebellion of man. Christ, in Philippians chapter 2, I think we have Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Before chapter 6, before chapter 2, verse 6, in chapter 2, verse 5, he mentioned, "Let this mind be in you, right, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let's read verse 6 together. "Who, existing in the form of God, did not consider being equal with God a treasure to be grasped." Here mentioned Christ, when he came, in fact, Christ is equal with God. Imagine about Christ existing in the form of God, did not consider being equal with God a treasure to be grasped, but rather he emptied himself. The following verses after chapter after verse 6, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and becoming in the likeness of a man. And he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and the death of the cross. Of course, the following verse, imagine, "Therefore God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow in the heavens and on the earth, and every mouth should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. How about let's all say together? Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. You know, this is a tremendous statement. Because Jesus, he was the first one. He was obedient to God. He was equal with God. But he take God as his head. And he was fully submissive, submissive to God to accomplish redemption for us, which is a table, you know. We often think how wonderful redemption is, right? Because he has accomplished God's purpose by obedient to God. That God wants to accomplish his purpose. Christ, in God's arrangement, he take his position. Even though he was equal with God, he was submissive to God. To die even, and the death on the cross. So today, with this in view, that there's such a contrast of the rebellion demons with the table of the demons. And with all the angelic beings, one third of them rebel against God under the leading of Satan. Today, God used this table to show that now there is a group of people gathering together, and there are some, according to the word, with a covering, for the sake of the angels.
Right.
Today, our gathering is not just we gathering together. If you read this portion of the word, you will know this portion of the word is, it mentioned the headship in chapter 11, verse 2. The headship, then under the headship, it mentions three words. The headship in the universe. So today, this morning, we are not just have a little gathering in New York City. We are doing something to show the headship of Christ in the universe.
Amen.
Oh, this is too big. So to see this picture, we will realize, you know, we have the Lord's table in chapter 10. We have the Lord's Supper in chapter 11. In between, sandwiched, there is concerning the headship. Thank the Lord, you know, that this matter can open to us in such a way that that we will know there's something so significant that the Lord wants to reveal to us this matter. You know, just as the teaching of the Lord's table, we accept. So the teaching concerning the headship, we also should accept. And you know, the sisters are really privileged.
Wow.
You know, this week while I'm reading this portion of the word, under God's sovereignty, I'm not a female. Even though during this portion, I wish I'm a female. But I accept God's sovereignty, God's headship. I'm not a female. But female, by the way, I just want to mention, sisters, if you read this portion, or I read, you know, some, I think we all brothers also, we always think about the sisters. No, he's not talking about the sisters. He's talking about woman. He's talking about man. This is different. God is concerning the headship, is concerning in the whole universe, God has his authority. That's why the authority was mentioned concerning the head covering. And in this God's authority, there is God and there is Christ. God is the head of Christ. So if God and Christ together, Christ has the head covering because there's only one head. When Christ is here, we all have covering because Christ is the head. There's only one head. Christ's submission to God under God's headship, that was beautiful because he was equal with God.
Right.
And yet, he took a position, or he took the standing under God's headship. So this headship of God over Christ, there's a need something to reveal this. So in this revealing the relationship in God's government, God's administration, God uses man and woman. And the female were chosen to reveal what Christ has done. So sisters, you are really privileged. Amen. Because God, Christ wants you to express his submission to God the Father. So I just feel when we come to this portion, God is revealing such something so great to us. You know, the first portion of 1 Corinthians was concerning the Christian living. There are the problems, right? Six problems. But in opening the second section, which is in chapter 11, the first thing touched was the matter of headship, or the headship. And concerning the headship, of course, he mentioned in a very beautiful way, very clear way, the headship of Christ over every man, and man over woman, then God over Christ, of course, God over everything. So today, I'm standing here. I'm not, so I pray that Christ is my head.
Right.
I don't want my head to be here, exposed. I think we all here, we want Christ to be head of all of us.
Amen.
But among all of us, in fact, everyone should have a head covering this morning. But sisters, you are chosen to represent all of us. To have the head covering, to show in the whole universe, God is the head.
Amen.
And Christ is under God's headship. And this picture is here this morning, while we are reading the word, enjoying his word.
Amen.
God is presenting this in the whole universe, especially to the fallen angels.
Right. Amen.
Especially as a sham to Satan. So praise the Lord. God wants to gain such a group of people under his headship to express that there is such an order in the universe. Even though outside the church, everything is in a universal collapse. But in the church, Christ as the first one, he submitted himself to God the Father. And now he has saved all of us, that we all can have a part in this testimony, you know. So this morning we are bearing a testimony of God's ordination in the universe, of God's proper order in the universe, and especially in the church. There are two testimonies I want to share a little bit. One was a sister. This Wednesday, she shared. She was wearing a head covering. And she said, she's not, I don't think she's here this morning. She's in another meeting. She said, you see this? Her head covering. She said, it took me 50 years to have this covering. She said, in her whole life, she supported herself. And but at the end, she realized she needs covering. I was very touched, and many sisters were very touched. You know, she learned a lesson. So head covering is not just something a physical you just put on your head. No. We are not, if we are sharing the head covering, we will prepare something in the book room or selling the head covering, right? But this morning, we are not interested in that. But we are through the word, you know, we want to enter into the burden, enter into this portion of the word that God is revealing to us, touching God's administration, touching God's government. There is the matter of universal headship of God. And there's also the headship of Christ. So today we thank the Lord that we have this portion. In fact, after this portion, I don't know, you know, when the next time we're going to cover, right?
No, right.
Even Bobby said, you know, in the life study, he said he didn't touch this, you know, for when he came to this country at all. That was the first time because this portion of the word. So thank the Lord. I think we all like, you know, when I read this portion, I just very convicted, you know, I think to be under the headship of Christ, you know. So it really thank the Lord, you know, this time I can enter into this portion with a deeper understanding, you know. Okay, another testimony. Sister Yue is here, okay. she a very touching testimony also, concerning her learning the headship, of course, particularly under her husband. But I just want to mention one word she shared, I think touched many, concerning the matter of peace, you know. When we are not under the headship, we lose peace. We lose peace. So this word peace in Chinese is very particular. You know, I didn't think in the way that Sister Yue presented. In this word peace in Chinese, I'm not teaching Chinese. I'm just making a little point. I hope you understand. Okay. In this word peace, okay, peace, there is a woman. In the word peace, there's a woman. And woman, Chinese, a lot of words are figurative, you know. Like the sun, the sun is, you know, this is sun. You know? So this woman, I don't know, I you know. Okay, I don't want to get into too detail. I just want to mention. The word peace is this woman, this word woman with the cover. So I'll see the share. When the woman is covered, the woman has peace. In fact, we all are female, by the way, because we all will be the bride. So when we are covered, we have peace.
Amen.
So the matter of head covering, it's not a matter of being equal or not equal. That's totally misunderstanding of the word,
yeah.
You know. Concerning God's salvation, we all are equal,
right?
We all are equal. God save you, God save me. Brother, God save brothers, God save sisters. We're all equal. It's not because you are female, you get a little more chance. Or I'm a brother, I'm able to get myself saved. No, it's nothing.
That's right.
It's all God's grace.
Right.
By grace we are saved, not by all, you know, all female or male. So in God's arrangement, there's a matter of God's grace, which is like redemption. Doesn't matter what race, doesn't matter, you know, female, male. Concerning salvation, it's nothing. Even concerning Holy Spirit, everyone. The gift of Holy Spirit is to everyone.
Right.
So all this, concerning the church, there's no... there's no position, there's no, you know, female or male. But in this universe, there's another, we may call system, that is God's government, which is different from God's grace, the system of grace. In fact, God gave us a grace was in order to perfect the system of government.
Right.
We cannot say, I'm saved, you know, I'm fine, you know. You throw the authority away. God in this universe has his government. So God gave us grace in order to bring us into God's government. That's why the gospel is not just the gospel of grace. The gospel is also the gospel of the kingdom,
amen,
of God's authority.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the more we enjoy grace, should bring us more under God's headship,
right,
under Christ's headship. If we say we enjoy grace, we throw away all the authorities. That's a total misuse. So God wants to bring us, every one of us, into this God's administration, you know. Okay, at the end, I just want to mention that in this portion, in the 1 Corinthians, until now, Paul was using the children of Israel as a picture of us today, Christians, or the church. In chapter 5, he mentioned about, you know, this sinful brother, and then he mentioned about the Passover. The Passover, or Passover, Christ has been sacrificed. And let's keep the feast of unleavened bread. So that was a picture concerning our salvation. We all got redeemed. Christ is the Lamb of God. He shed his blood. We receive him. We enjoy him. In fact, the Lord's table was a continuation of the Passover feast. Then when the Lord was eating the Passover feast with the disciples, then during the eating, he established the Lord's table. So the Lord's table replaces the Passover feast. That was for us to eat and to drink. So our Christian life, in fact, started from just like the children of Israel with the Passover, and continue was in chapter 10, that now we eat the same spiritual food, we drink the same spiritual drink, we drink the drink, the spiritual drink from the spiritual rock that followed us. So we see the children of Israel, they have a continuation after their salvation to go on with the Lord. But the purpose was to enter into the good land. So the next thing he mentioned was in chapter 10, concerning, you know, chapter 10, in the beginning was they were baptized, then they would start eating the spiritual food, drinking the spiritual drink. But in continuation, Paul just turned to us. Now, where are we? Are we in Egypt enjoying the Passover? Are we in the wilderness enjoying the spiritual drink, spiritual food? We are neither in Egypt. We are neither in the wilderness. We are in the good land, enjoying the table, enjoying the Lord's feast. So the table, in fact, was a picture of the good land. So we are following the Lord. But in all these different sections, the Lord revealed that he's leading us is by our eating and drinking. So even the matter of headship is not something that we want to do something. The headship, in fact, come out of our enjoying God's salvation. Right. So the table, in fact, has two sections. The blood signifies God's judicial redemption. And the table, eating and drinking, refers to God's organic salvation. Amen. So by enjoying God's organic salvation, we will be under God's headship. So this is, you know, the Lord revealed to us today. So we are in the good land. We are enjoying the Lord's richest provision for us to, by enjoying, by eating and drinking. So eating and drinking is very crucial in our Christian life. Amen. Because eating and drinking, not only we enjoy God's salvation, but also we are being brought under God's headship. You know, in Revelation, the same principle is revealed also. In Revelation chapter 2:7 and 2:10, it mentioned about to the church in Ephesus, to him who overcomes, maybe we can read together. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So at the end of the Bible, again, mentioned the matter of eating, and it mentioned first the eating of the tree of life, which in the beginning, you know, the Bible, God created man, put man in front of the tree of life, then man enjoying God as life. Okay, in 2:17, let's read together. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give the hidden manna. And to him I will give a white stone, and upon the stone a new name written, which no one knows except he who received it. Right. So again, here mentioned about eating of the hidden manna. So to the church life, you know, in the seven churches, God stresses the matter of eating. Eating the tree of life, eating the hidden manna. So this one was to the church in Ephesus, the other was to the church in Pergamos. And to the last church, that's really in chapter 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. So here was a matter of a feasting, dining. Dining is not just, you know, you take a fruit, eat it. Or he the manna come down, or the manna comes down, you eat it. Dining is you sitting down for to have a table, you know, right. To have a table of a feast. Like last night, you know, the Spanish-speaking saints, you know, they have a gospel meeting, they had a big feast, you know. So today, our Christian life is a life of feasting.
Amen.
It's a life of eating the tree of life, eating the Passover lamb, eating the food, you know, from heaven, and drink the spiritual drink.
Amen.
And enjoy Christ as our feast.
Amen.
In the good land. So I just enjoy all these principles are very clear in the Bible, but it comes down to the practical. Just we all need to eat the Lord, we all need to drink the Lord. In ourselves, we are not able to be submissive, but the one in us is submissive. Christ is a submissive one, even unto death. So what we need is we just need him. We just need daily enjoy him as our portion. Let the submissive one come out of us. So whether brothers or sisters, you know, we just need to enjoy the Lord as our life supply, and let him gain his testimony that he may express to us, that he may shame that rebellious one, you know. In fact, the rebellious element still in us, you know. Quite often it may come out of us, especially we have children. If you look at children, you know, the rebellious element is there, very evident. And so today, we just need daily eating Christ, drinking Christ, and living Christ, and express Christ. So Christ may be testified, and we all corporately, that we may be his testimony. And the sisters, you are particularly chosen to have a sign to shame the devil.
Amen.
And to shame all the evil angels.
Amen.
And the demons. Praise the Lord. Today, the Lord wants to gain such a corporate people, you know, to bear such a testimony, to testify God in his whole universe, he has his order. And today, we are submissive to him. Want to give him the glory.
Amen.
Let him be the unique head.
Amen.
In the church and in our daily living. May the Lord gain the glory.